Hello and welcome to The Word, bringing you the good news of Jesus Christ every day from the order of preachers around the world. Today, from the United States, we hear from Dr. Anne Garrido, an associate professor of homiletics at Aquinas Institute of Theology. Anne's preaching is entitled, Dear Paul, What is the Fallback Plan?
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to Titus. Paul, a slave of God and apostle of Jesus Christ, for the sake of the faith of God's chosen ones and in recognition of religious truth, in the hope of eternal life that God, who does not lie, promised before time began, who indeed at the proper time revealed his word and the proclamation with which I was entrusted, by the command of God our Savior, to Titus, my true child in our common faith, grace and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Savior. For this reason I left you in Crete, so that you might set right what remains to be done, and appoint presbyters in every town as I directed you, on condition that a man be blameless, married only once with believing children who are not accused of licentiousness or rebelliousness. For a bishop, as God's steward, must be blameless, not arrogant, not irritable, not a drunkard, not aggressive, not greedy for sordid gain, but hospitable, a lover of goodness, temperate, just, holy, and self-controlled, holding fast to the true message as taught, so that he will be able both to exhort with sound doctrine and to refute opponents. Dear Paul, I got your letter. Good to know that you're feeling God has your back. I wish you grace and peace as well. Things here in Crete. Well, I'm guessing that's why you wrote. You'd like an update. As you might have guessed, this whole church-sustaining thing has been a lot harder than it looks. I appreciate that you understand I can't do it all myself, and that it's going to take many presbyters and bishops to keep things going and expand what has begun here. And I think the description you've given of the qualities I should be looking for when appointing a new bishop, well, it's a good one. I, too, would really love to only have bishops who are sober and humble and gentle and just and self-controlled and holy and able to preach well and effective in standing up to our opponents. And yes, it'd be great if the bishop was only married once and all the bishop's children were also active in the church. But here's the problem. Do you know where I might find any such men? Already, we've been having some trouble finding men whose wives and children didn't present some challenges, so we've decided it'd be better if our presbyters and bishops were celibate. Now, this solved some problems, but unfortunately, it seems to have created some other ones. I now have even fewer men to choose from, and often they are entirely lacking in one or more of those other qualities you name. Sometimes they do have problems with alcohol. They show little concern with justice. Some are downright arrogant. And sometimes, because we're so short on numbers, I've gone ahead and laid hands on them, you know, thinking that age might mature them or the Holy Spirit might work a miracle. And occasionally that's worked. Those who are truly open to the voices of their people and the grace of the Spirit, they do grow into the responsibility with which they've been entrusted. But I'm not sure I'd ever call them blameless. Well, but they're on the right path. But Paul, I need to tell you that this solution has not worked well either, and we've ended up with some real disasters on our hands. The people of God here have been so injured, some have even lost their faith entirely. So I'm experimenting now with writing other apostles, you know, just seeing if they have some extra spare, blameless, self-controlled, just men in their neck of the woods that they could spare and send over to us in Crete. And sometimes that's helped, but I'll admit the differences in our language and culture frequently make such matches, well, tenuous at best. And besides, the other apostles have made clear, it's not like they have an overabundance of such men to serve their own people. Phoebe's daughters were passing through the other day, and I was telling them of my dilemma, and they just sort of stared at me with one eyebrow raised as if I were missing something that was really obvious or right in front of my face. I hate when they do that. I asked them if they were encouraging their sons to become priests and bishops. And indeed, did they have a son that they could send to serve in Crete? One of them actually rolled her eyes. And this is why I so rarely consult women. They can be so infuriatingly obscure and suffer so often from the sin of rudeness or bitterness. Besides, I doubt they really get the gravity of my problem. So, Paul, I turn back to you. What should I do if I cannot find these blameless, generous, sober, humble men who are also excellent preachers and hospitable and lovers of goodness? Should I start to shut down some of these Christian communities? Should we maybe just pull out of Crete? Paul, please write back quickly. Things are getting pretty desperate over here. Always yours, Titus.